Well, I'm really happy to be here, and I brought my ukulele. Now, I've been playing for about 4 months, and I was talking to Wendy earlier, and it turns out that the ukulele is a really fun instrument that anybody can play. Anybody can play. It doesn't even have to sound good. It's just a fun instrument. So I went on Google, and I was looking for Buddhist songs. I said, I'm going to play a Buddhist song, and I found a couple, but they were in Taiwanese. And I only speak English, so I said, why don't I do what other people do? Why don't I just take a gospel song and change the words, and I'll make a Buddhist song. So I found a perfect song called Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, and I changed the words. And so I call it Spin Well, Sweet Dharma Wheel. And I like to just play that for you. And you can hear how I'm doing after 4 months of practice. Spin well, sweet Dharma wheel, coming for to wake me up. Spin well, sweet Dharma wheel, coming for to wake me up. Well, I sat down and meditating, what did I see? Coming for to wake me up. Band of Buddhas coming after me, coming for to wake me up. Spin well, sweet Dharma wheel, coming for to wake me up. Spin well, sweet Dharma wheel, coming for to wake me up. Well, if you wake up before I do, coming for to wake me up. Tell my friends that I'm awakened too, coming for to wake me up. Spin well, sweet Dharma wheel, coming for to wake me up. Spin well, sweet Dharma wheel, coming for to wake me up. Thank you. I'd like to talk about forgiveness today. And on January 3rd, 2010, something remarkable happened. Brit Hume participated in a roundtable discussion on Fox News Sunday, also known as Foul News Sunday. And Brit Hume said, Tiger Woods will recover as a golfer. Whether or not he can recover as a person, I think, is a very open question. And it's a tragic situation for him. I think he's lost his family. It's not clear to me if he'll ever be able to have a relationship with his children. But the Tiger Woods that emerges once the news value dies out of this scandal, to the extent to which he can recover, seems to me to depend upon his faith. He's said to be a Buddhist. I don't think that faith offers the kind of forgiveness and redemption that is offered by the Christian faith. So my message to Tiger would be, Tiger, turn to the Christian faith, and you can make a total recovery and be a great example to the world. Now, I was a little disappointed when I saw that, and and so I said to myself, I wonder if Buddhism has the kind of forgiveness and redemption that Christianity has. And I was surprised to find out, no, we don't. Brit Hume was absolutely correct. If Tiger wants to be forgiven for his sins, he will not be forgiven as a Buddhist because we don't have sin. And we don't have a divine being who will forgive him. The Buddha died 2,500 years ago. He doesn't care anymore. For 45 years, he taught the path to the end of suffering. So I said to myself, well, what is sin? Because I'm not familiar with that term, being a Buddhist. So where did I go? Wikipedia. Where else would you go? Sin, according to the Eastern Christian tradition, is also viewed as a relational problem. Sin alienates the sinner from God. It has damaged and completely severed the relationship of humanity to God. That relationship can only be restored through acceptance of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross as a sacrifice for man's sin. He goes on to say, in Eastern Christianity, sin is viewed in terms of its effects on relationships among people and between people and God. Sin is seen as a refusal to follow God's plan and the desire to be like God, and thus in direct opposition to him. They always call him him, don't they? To sin is to want to control one's own destiny in opposition to the will of God. Well, I thought about what the Buddha wanted me to do, and the Buddha didn't necessarily want me to do anything. He made available to me his teachings, if I so choose. Now, my understanding of the teachings of the Buddha is not to have a relationship with the divine being. That is optional in Buddhism. We are non-theistic. We do not deny the reality of a higher being. We simply found that there's one thing the higher being can do for us. And you probably won't be surprised to hear this. The one thing that God doesn't seem to be able to do is end our suffering. Why do we suffer more and more and more as human beings? What's the purpose of our suffering? Now, a Catholic priest once said about suffering, he said, God doesn't end your suffering because he wants you to have a choice. I thought that's an interesting concept. God wants us to be free, free to suffer. If, in fact, he or she won't help us end our own suffering, the Buddha said, I have discovered a way to end suffering. And that is by following the Four Noble Truths. But I'm thinking to myself, forgiveness, forgiveness. Do we have forgiveness? I went to the paramitas, the 10 perfections found in Mahayana Buddhism. They are, one, generosity, which was just practiced a few minutes before, morality, renunciation, wisdom, energy, patience, truthfulness, resolution, loving kindness, equanimity, the 10 perfections. I didn't see forgiveness in there. And then I went back to patience. Ah, patience. Patience is Kanti, K-H-A-N-T-I, Pali, the canonical language of early Buddhism. It has been translated as patience, forbearance, and forgiveness. It is the practice of exercising patience toward behavior or situations that might not necessarily deserve it. It is seen as a conscious choice to actively give patience as if it is a gift, rather than being in a state of oppression in which one feels obligated to act in such a way. So patience is a gift. Can we practice patience? Does patience ever turn into forgiveness? I think it does. One of the ways I practice forgiveness, I go to fast food restaurants. And I wait in line. There's usually a line. And I'm always amazed after waiting in line for 5 minutes that the person in front of me hasn't decided what they want to eat yet. And as they approach the counter, they finally look at the menu. And I think to myself, you could have done that 5 minutes ago. And then they can't find their change, and on it goes. And I thought to myself, this is a perfect place to practice patience. Now, I'm not practicing patience for them. I'm practicing patience for me. Because patience leads to less anger, less confusion, less dislike of the situation I find myself in. Patience is a good thing. But patience doesn't seem to be for them. And as it turns out, perhaps forgiveness isn't for them either. Because if we do forgive someone, What does that mean? Doesn't that sort of put us at a level higher than the person being forgiven? Now, I thought about that, and I asked another Catholic priest friend of mine, Father Gill. I said, Father Gill, and I said proudly, we don't have forgiveness in Buddhism. We have acceptance. And it feels to me, Father Gill, that acceptance has more balance and equanimity. I'm not higher or lower than the person I'm accepting. And Father Gill was a very patient human being. And he looked at me and said, Kusala, don't you know what forgiveness and patience does? I said, I don't, Father Gill. Could you tell me? He said, I'd be happy to. Forgiveness and patience brings a relationship back into balance. It brings a relationship back into balance. A relationship between humans, a relationship between humans and pets, a relationship between humans and nature, between humans and God. Forgiveness, acceptance, brings us back into relationship with balance and clarity and compassion. And I thought to myself, well, if patience is the first step, maybe the next step then would be forgiveness. If I can be patient with somebody long enough, perhaps I can forgive them. And if I can forgive them, perhaps I can accept them exactly how they are. I don't need them to be any different than what they become and what they will become in the future. And one of my problems is I always expect people to be different than they are because I expect myself sometimes to be different than I am. So I found practicing patience can start at home. It can start every time I look in the mirror. And I just have patience with myself. I realize my hair keeps falling out. I've chosen the right profession, though. It doesn't matter quite as much in my profession. I've noticed that my face keeps changing. It keeps getting these lines of character. And I'm thinking, wow, isn't that interesting? And can I have patience with my face as it changes? Can I have patience with my energy flows? Sometimes I'm really excitable and have a lot of positive energy. Other times I just want to take a nap, you know, and sort of recharge the batteries. And can I have patience with myself? Can I forgive myself not being the perfect person that I aspire to be? And perhaps sooner or later I'll come to a place of acceptance with exactly how I am. And maybe if I can do that, I can come to a place of acceptance with exactly how you are and not wanting you to be any different than you are. How nice would my life be if that was the case? So I said, well, how can I practice? What did the Buddha say? How can I practice this besides going to fast food restaurants? If you've seen that movie Supersize Me, you probably don't want to go to fast food restaurants. So looking at the Buddhist path, we would say sila, samadhi, and punya. Sila, samadhi, and punya are personal discipline, mental purification, and wisdom. So as a Buddhist, coming to a place of acceptance with the way things are, we would start with the five precepts. The five precepts that every Buddhist accepts. They are, I will practice not taking life. I will practice not to take what is not given. I will practice not to indulge in sexual misconduct. I will practice not speaking unskillfully. And I will practice not consuming intoxicants. Now, this today, 2:30 in the afternoon, I'll be in Westminster because every Sunday I speak to Vietnamese children between the ages of 8 and 14. And their parents asked me to teach them Buddhism. And I said, I'd be happy to. And these young people do not want to chant. And they do not want to memorize. And they just want to be there as short a period of time as possible and then leave. And I guess that's just the way life is. So I said to myself, well, I play ukulele. Why don't I make up a five-precept song? So I'd like to share my five-precept song with you, which I'll be playing later for the kids. So this is a way to memorize the five precepts. I will will practice not to take life. Practice not to take life. Practice not to take life. I will practice every day. I will practice not to take stuff. Practice not to take stuff. Practice not to take stuff. I will practice every day. I will practice loving kindness. Practice loving kindness. Practice loving kindness. I will practice every day. I will practice not to tell lies. Practice not to tell lies. Practice not to tell lies. I will practice every day. I will practice not to get high. Practice not to get high. Practice not to get high. I will practice every day. Yeah. So that's how we start. We start practicing how to speak and act more skillfully so we don't have to suffer as much, and so the people around us don't have to suffer as much. And when we get pretty good at practicing the five precepts, then we meditate. And meditate is nothing more than mental purification. All those thoughts of lust, greed, hatred, and delusion, we want to transform into love, generosity, compassion, and wisdom. And it takes many hours on the cushion, just sitting patiently, waiting for thoughts to arise, exist, and pass away. Now, I've seen frogs sit for a very long period of time, but I don't think their mind is changing in any positive way. But when I see humans dedicated to the practice of meditation, it's inspiring. In our culture, to sit quietly for 20 minutes and expect no outcome at all. No goal to reach. Nothing to attain. Wow, how impressive is that? If I can practice long enough and I can transform my thoughts of greed, hatred, lust, and delusion into positive mind states, they will lead my mouth and my body into a world of skillful activity. My mouth and body are driven by my mind, I've come to understand. But sometimes the mind is a difficult object to feel and see and know, whereas speech and action is immediate. So I start with the five precepts. I finally work into mental purification, meditation, and then I want to have two things, very important. I want to have wisdom, and I want to have compassion. I don't want to have one or the other. People say compassion is a wonderful thing, and I agree, but it needs to be tempered with wisdom. We could give all our money away trying to save the world, and then we end up starving. That's not good. If we have too much wisdom, we may give no money away. So to have a little wisdom and a little compassion, you can give enough money away. Speaking on giving money away, I was giving a talk at USC to some business students. One student said, "You know, I'm a Buddhist. Is it okay for me to make a lot of money?" I said, "Oh, yes. Think how much more money you can give away." So making a lot of money is good. Practicing generosity is tough. Now, I don't have a lot of money, so I needed to be a bit more skillful in how I give my money away, because I wanted to impact people with my generosity. That's how I felt. And I could only afford to give a quarter away, 50 cents away. So I said to myself, why don't I simply leave change in the coin return of vending machines? Because you know, if you've ever found a quarter in a coin changer, it was your day. So I thought, what a great way to practice generosity. I could just leave a few pennies or dimes and nickels behind and change somebody's life, you know? So that's how I started. Now I end up feeding up to 9 feral cats a day. And we have them in our backyard. We have 4 yards that are enclosed by a fence. And some were actually born there. We finally caught mom and got her fixed, so she'll have no more children. But what wonderful joy it is to see these cats in the backyard. And all they want to do every day is eat. So I had to figure out a way to come up with money to feed the cats. And you know what? In my practice of generosity, feeding these cats, money simply manifested. People said, I want to give you $20 so you can feed your cats. I said, really? And they said, yes. And I said, okay. And as I continued to practice generosity, more and more people continued to help me. What an interesting idea that is. In order for you to have a good life, you need to give something away on a regular basis. And you always seem to get more in return. And I'd heard that before. I didn't buy it, though. I had heard that before, but it is absolutely true. It is absolutely true. So one of my practices of generosity, besides leaving coins behind, is to feed these little feral cats. And they seem to be happy. They're really happy when they see me. And then, and once they've eaten enough, then they just leave, you know? And I don't see them until dinner. So here we are. We want to watch what we say. We want to watch what we do. We want to be aware of our mind. We want to see mind states arising, existing, and passing away. We want to purify our consciousness. We want to acquire wisdom and compassion. For me, the ultimate goal in Buddhism, enlightenment, nirvana, if you will, is simply to have a profound acceptance of the way things are. Living in such great balance in your everyday life would allow you to be of service to everyone. You wouldn't get caught in the drama. You would know exactly what to do with your clarity, and you would know how much to do because of your heart. Buddhism, for me, has always been about how to be a better human being. It has never been, for me, how to have a relationship with the divine being. So, having said that, may we all have patience and acceptance, even on the 405 freeway. Thank you.